Blog Talk Radio. Candle Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. Women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. And I am lucky enough to be Renee Bernard so that I can have on the program tonight Cindy Holby. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, hopefully you heard good things, and that's why you did this, and not because of all those, you know, threatening, vague emails that we sent you to try to scare you into coming on the program.
No, I've heard nothing but good things.
Oh, good, 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 good. Phew. It's working.
Yes.
We used to bribe people, but I ran out of money. So there you go. So now we just try to...
Darn, if only I could have gotten in on those bribes.
Yeah, I know, I know. Now we just send these vague, I know what you did last summer, and go on the show. And people do, and I'm still amazed every single time it happens. It's just a wonderful thing. You... Busy summer. I mean, you've had a release out in May.
Yes.
Have you? How's it going?
Well, it's going pretty well. It was a little, a bit of a different thing for me because usually my most of my books are westerns or colonials, but I did this medieval, and it's funny because many, many years ago, when I thought I could be a writer, I tried to sit down and write this book, and of course that was, you know, back in the day before computers, and I was working at this really boring job answering phones, and I had my little pad of paper, and I wrote about 5 pages, and it just pretty much sucked. And so I kind of said, oh, well, there it goes. And my editor, we were talking about things, and she wanted me, you know, try some different things. I write in several different genres under a couple different names. But she said, let's try something different. And so I said, well, there's this medieval. I've always... you know, had this story in my head, and so how about if I do that? And I did, and it was fun because I added just a touch of fantasy to it because I have a little bit of elvish lore in it. So it's a little bit of a mix, and it was just fun and something really different. And plus it was my first real, I would say my first true romance. Most of mine are heavy on action, and you know, a lot of the historical fiction side of it without a lot of the romance. But
okay, now tell me the title. It came out May 25th, am I right?
Yep.
And the title
May,
is?
Breath of Heaven.
There you go.
Breath of Heaven.
So you kind of went back and visited your first love this summer. I mean, I think for a lot of writers, that first book, you know, whether it's I Give You a Kiss or yours, 5 pages, you know, it's there, that first story that sort of gets everything rolling. It's sort of with you, I think, for a long time.
Yeah, the stories, you know, they just never go away. And then, you know, of course, for me, I had a learning disability that was never diagnosed. I'm dyslexic. And just, you know, I went to college thinking I could be an English major, and it just didn't happen. And I like to say I was snarky before snarky was cool, because
nice.
The first paper I wrote was just, not well received at all. She didn't like my attitude. And so, I just realized, you know, I was just told that I couldn't write. But, you know, the stories, they don't ever go away. They're always there.
No.
And, of course, more of them crowd in, and then it's just, I say, whoever screams the loudest gets out. But
this is my method also for queuing up characters. Yes, is whoever bangs on the doors the loudest tends to get through first. But
yes,
it can
exactly.
get crazy that way. But now... we were joking a little in the pre-show, which, you know, listeners, you know, it's a wild pre-show. One day we will make that public. But you claim to be a pantser. Is that true? I mean,
oh, yes.
you're a pantser.
Yes, like, I'm most definitely a pantser. I know writers
and
who
for
write
those
30
of you
pages.
Who do, yeah, I should clarify. That is a writing by the seat of your pants, not running up and, you know, cruelly doing, you know, pulling down other people's, you know, jeans in public. Okay, go.
Yeah. No, I know there are plotters and pantsers, and I know writers who write, you know, 30-page outlines before they ever write a word. And I just come at it, I have these characters in my head, and they usually, when I start writing, they usually tell me where they're going to go. So I have a... And it's hard because, you know, a lot of times, you know, editors want synopses and outlines. And, you know, all I could basically say is there's there's Johnny and there's Sue, and a whole lot of stuff happens, and in the end they get together and they live happily ever after. And they might be, you know, in 1920 Chicago, or they might be in Scotland in 1400s, you know. I mean, that's about it. But, yeah, I'm strictly a pantser. And
and the editors are going for this. They're going, okay, that sounds great. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll sign up. Because they know you, and they know you can pull it off.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
For aspiring authors, you know, word of warning, that approach generally doesn't.
Well, I had to go back after several books and learn how to write a synopsis because I just had never done it before. But I'm not saying that that's the best way to do it. I'm just saying it's my way, and you need the other stuff too. And I have started making notes, but it's a learning experience. Like, you learn about the characters when you're writing, and the characters, you know, their personalities develop, and you have to stay true to their personalities. So.
Oh, absolutely. Have you ever gotten stuck though? I mean, have you ever gotten into a corner though and said,
yeah.
"Uh-oh"?
Yes, I have. With my last Colby Hodge book, and I was writing it. This was Star Shadows. I had too much plot, which I had the characters, and I was trying to tell both their stories, and that was because, you know, I didn't plan the book out ahead of time. I just, you know, I had these twins, and I was like, I was going to tell her love story and his love story, and I realized it was just too much, and so I had to go back, and I realized that, you know, there was a whole other book that could come out of it, and I'm hoping, to get to write that book someday, but yeah, it has got me in trouble before, but, you know, you just do the best you can, and when you have a deadline, you freak out a little bit.
There is that adrenaline. Absolutely.
There is that adrenaline.
That adrenaline has, I think, completed or spurred on many a masterpiece for writers.
Yeah.
So that's always something. I just always wonder, because I talk to the pantsers, and I think they're plotting, but they don't realize they're plotting. And I think, they talk about the post-it notes on the wall, or, they'll have a storyboard, or they'll use visual things, and it's like, well, that would be an outline. It's just in different form, but you kind of know where you're going.
Yeah,
I think, before you fire up the bus.
Yeah, well, I keep a dry erase board, and I write down just certain things that need to happen, or that I want to incorporate. You know, things that I visualize, because you see things like, when I'm in the shower, or I'm walking the dogs, or just driving in the car, and your mind is, thinking about something else, and suddenly it comes to you. So I just make notes, because I'm also very a linear writer. I have to write each scene, as it comes. And so I make notes on my dry erase board, and when I incorporate that part into the story, I just take it off the board. It's gone. It's in the story, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. So
I love that. That sounds
Yeah,
really
but
good.
It's every book. I mean, I've written 14 books, and every book is a learning experience. You learn something new. And, of course, we're all trying to, further develop our craft. And
sure.
So you try, and take something you learn from each book into the next book, and hopefully each book is better and better and better. So.
Well, that makes every – I mean, that's a great thing to say, because I think a lot of people just think you've got it down and then you go. But it really is always, I think, a developing – you're always growing and transforming and developing, I think, as an artist, and I think that's true. Every book is just another step, and you hope they're better.
I'm
like, man, I hope this was. You hope you're not judged, by the stumbles, because I think it is part of the process. You're just finding your feet and getting better and better. The medievals, it's just fun to do something different. Did you enjoy kind of? You said of course the colonials and the westerns, but all of a sudden you're doing something completely different. Is that kind of fun? And
oh yeah, it is. And then you just want to delve more into that world. I mean, I would like to write more, off of that world. But I love the research. I mean, I just love history, and I love going back and reading about all these things that have happened. And right now I'm just researching a lot on Irish history and.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the I wrote a short story about some Irish lore, and I just love it. I could, and it's just one of those old shiny things that you read this and then you go here and then you go there, and before you know it, you just get totally lost in the research. So, and sometimes I come up blinking. my family's kind of like, oh, it's one of those days. But
are you writing anything? Yeah, I know. My husband's like, are you going to write? Are you just going to read for the rest? I'm like, leave me alone. I'm absorbing.
Yeah, if not for the dogs having to go potty, I would, I probably wouldn't move for hours. But, you know, that my little doxy looks at me with a sad face like, Mommy, I really need to go outside
need to go. Well, they're keeping you healthy. They're keeping you connected to the world.
Yes,
and they're making sure you, like you said, that you move every few hours. So that's really important.
Yeah, it is.
I don't have a dog, but I have children, and they pretty much provide the same kind of service.
Yeah. Well, I admire. I wrote my first book. I guess my oldest son was a senior in high school, and I don't know how people with small children do it. I really don't, because you're a mom first. You're a mom and a wife, and it's just the way we're geared. We want to make sure everything else is taken care of before we sit down and do what we want or need to do. And I don't know how women with small children do it. I really don't. And
I don't know.
There are a lot
I don't know either.
There.
And I have a 10-month-old and a 4-year-old, and I have no idea.
Oh my gosh!
But I really don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lack of sleep occurring. Is all. I'm
yeah,
say
I like my sleep. Believe me, I like my sleep.
I'm looking forward to a return to sleep. You know, it'll
be
a few years, but. That would be a vacation, just, the snooze.
Well, but as they when they get to be teenagers, they keep you up all night, too, because you're trying to figure out where they are or what they're doing. So.
Yes, well, hopefully technology will advance, and I'll just have, not just GPS, but the ability to zap them if they get out of range or, and, that's the signal.
Well, that's what, both of mine got cell phones the day they turned 16, and I said, you have no excuse. I can know exactly where you are and what you're doing, and if you're going to be late, you better call me. And they were very responsible, so they turned out all right, I think.
Yay! Good, a happy ending. Because a lot of people will tell you horror stories when you have children. The first thing they just start telling you all these horrible things, and I have to say that's a very mean thing to do. So it's like, please don't scare me now, because I have enough to worry about.
Yeah. I have two grown sons that I am very proud of. They're both handsome and responsible, and they're dating great girls. And, of course, one of them, I'm babysitting his dogs right now, but I don't mind that too much either.
Oh, I guess. So you have a pack of dogs now, so...
Yeah,
there's a lot of breaks in the writing now.
they're
prodding you out the door.
Yeah, there's three. There's a boxer puppy named Colby who's 3 months old, and then I have my Cody is a long-haired dachshund. He's 6, and then my son's girlfriend's dog is here, Dodger. He's a Boston Terrier. And then I have two cats who one of them is actually complaining because the dogs are here.
Oh.
So, it's a lot going on.
Cats are not the best hosts necessarily.
No.
When that comes to that. So, hang in there. Oh, my gosh.
But
you have a full house. It all comes around, and it's all good.
I love them. I love animals, so I have no problems with that.
Well, everybody, please stop by at your website. It's www.cindyholby.com. And everyone, please, if you haven't read Breath of Heaven, run out and grab your copy now. It's so much fun. I love it, and I'm loving what you're doing, and keep writing and getting better, and another show gone by.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. Okay, everybody, join us next Tuesday for more Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard, and have a great week. Goodbye.
Bye.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle. This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.